What is the driving force in your life? I want you to understand one thing, that the thing that determines whether you're a saint or a sinner is not the things you do, but what is the driving ambition of your life? What is the goal you're living for? If the goal you're living for is only to please God, that's the mark of a saint. He may make a few mistakes here and there. That's okay. That doesn't determine. Very often we judge people by the mistakes they make here or the good things they do there. Somebody does a good thing, oh, isn't he a good man? He's a non-Christian, but he's a good man. Or a fellow calls himself a believer, but he slipped up here. God doesn't judge like that. God judges by what is the ambition of this man? What is he seeking to live for? That's what comforts us. And if your fundamental goal is to please God, I'll tell you something, God will ignore these little mistakes and slip-ups you make along the way. But on the other hand, if your fundamental goal is not to please God, but some other earthly ambition, then even if you do a lot of good things like coming to church and giving money to God and helping the poor, you'll find it doesn't count with God at all, because your driving ambition is something else. So the goal for which you're living determines whether you're a godly man or an ungodly man. So it's very important to understand that, because that is a word of encouragement for those who got the right goal, and certainly it's a word of condemnation for those who try to please God by doing a few good things here and there. And so I was reading this verse the other day. It's a very familiar verse in Matthew chapter 3. An ambition to please God. I was reading how when Jesus was baptized, you know, I was saying how you read scripture and suddenly it hits you in a new way. So I was reading Matthew chapter 3 where Jesus was baptized. Matthew 3:16, and he went up from the water and the Spirit of God came descending upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, when you read something like that, how does it hit you? Well, for one thing, it makes us admire Jesus. Well, I'll tell you how it hit me the other day. I said, "Lord, Father, will you be able to say that about me? Will you be able to look at my life and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased?" And I say, "Father, if you can't say that about me, I'm ashamed of myself to call myself a child of God. What am I living for? If you can't look at my life and say, I'm well pleased with you." And I want to say that to each of you sitting here, my brothers and sisters. If that's not the goal of your life, you're just a religious person, not a spiritual person. You could end up as a Pharisee and get a big shock when Christ comes back and discover that you're not what you thought you were. So this fits in with what Paul's ambition was. I have one ambition in life, to please God. And that's not going to change when I go to heaven. It's exactly the same. And then when I look at Jesus' life and see how the Father was so well pleased with him, and I ask this question, "Father, can you say the same thing about me?" And I think the answer I get is, there's no partiality with God. The Bible says that Jesus is my elder brother, and we are his younger brothers. We are all children of God. He's the eldest brother. It's an amazing thing that the Bible says that Jesus is our elder brother. says that in Romans 8:29, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And on the day of his resurrection, he told Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers. He called his disciples his brothers. So, those of you who have children, if you're a good father, you will never show partiality to any of your children. You will treat all of them exactly alike. If you do more for your eldest child, some people are like that, I'm sorry to say, particularly in many Indian homes, their favorite is their eldest son. You are an ungodly man, an ungodly woman. I'll tell you that to your face. Because God is not partial. And if you are partial towards the boys rather than to the girls, you are an ungodly person. I have no hesitation in saying that. If you'll do more for one of your children than for the others, you are an ungodly person. A godly person will treat all his children equally. The clever one is not his favorite. The boy is not his favorite over the girls. The eldest is not his favorite over the younger ones. And the youngest sometimes, that's not his favorite either. All are exactly the same. We don't start like that. We have a partiality towards some of our children. We got to crucify that and say, Lord, I want to be like you. It's all right for ungodly people to show partiality. But if you say you're a child of God and you want to be like Jesus himself, like God our Father, then there should be no partiality. So, I believe there's no partiality with God. So, if Jesus is my elder brother, he will not show partiality to him. In other words, he'll do for me whatever he did for him. That's my understanding of my Heavenly Father. That's what gave me the faith many, many years ago, that what God did for Jesus, he'll do for me. Just this one truth, that there's no partiality with God. So, I see that if the Father could say about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, it's not an impossible goal for us to expect that God can say that about us as well. Why not? Provided I fulfill the same conditions, because God has certain laws. For example, he gives grace only to the humble. He's never going to change that law. He detests proud people. He opposes proud people. And I'll tell you something very reverently, that if Jesus ever became proud, the Father would have opposed him. And that, I say that, just so that some of us don't think we are special favorites because we've known God for so many years. That once in a while, if we get proud, God won't oppose us. I want to tell you, he will oppose you. Because that's his nature. He opposes the proud. And it doesn't matter one bit to him whether you've been a believer for 60, 70 years. If you're proud, he'll oppose you. If you're humble, he'll give you grace. So, I see that the reason why Jesus never sinned was because he was always under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you when you're under grace. And which means he was always humble. He always decided, I am never, never going to allow my mind to have high thoughts about myself. I'm never going to exalt myself over any other human being. That's why he became a servant and took the low place and refused to be a king. His last day of his life, he was at the feet of his disciples, washing their feet. That was his whole way of life. And that's why the Father was pleased with him. So, if we are really longing that our Heavenly Father will say about us, about you, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, just think for a moment to hear those words from God. This is my beloved child, personally to you, boy. To me, I cannot think of anything on earth that would mean more to me than that. Is that how you feel about it?